Hello and welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters, day
97.
Oh, so close to 100. It's going to be on Tuesday, which is after WWDC. Anyway, how is everybody? Let me know in the chat.
I've got Kim loves that.
It's the hip-hop night. This is because I've only just literally finished editing Ellen's Music of the Musicals.
Johnny which, like that.
Which everybody's listening to on another channel. Ooh, I could tell you what the first song is. It's from the musical Tell Me on a Sunday. Take That Look Off Your Face, which I love. Ah, you love
I'm
the hello.
Listening
boom,
to
boom,
it.
Boom.
I'm listening
Mike's
to
listening
it.
To it rather than listening to me now.
No, I'm listening to
it. It's amazing how I can be in two places at once. Last week, I was over by a minute and a bit. This week, under 30 seconds. But never mind, never mind. Everything will be fine. So, hello, Jonathan. Hello, Kim. CQ Deb, CQ Deb. And hello, Paul. Still straight, Sydney. How is it over there? We've got weird weather. It's boiling hot. It's horrible grey clouds. Not...
Oh, guess what she's done.
Oh, what's she done? Go on.
Pull the bed onto its flounder the floor.
Mike was trying to outwit the dog. Clearly, this will never end well. Well, it does for the dog.
Lola 1, Mike Nil.
Mike's just said Lola 1, Mike Nil. That's because she made such a mess of her bed that Mike left it propped up on its end. And I said, you know, do you think she's not savvy enough to pull it onto the floor? We'll see, he said. Guess what? It's all over the floor. Ah, dog wins again. Dog wins. She's been out for a walk. She's been out to deliver birthday presents. Mike had to do a virtual hug from the pavement. This lady is so touchy-touchy-feely-feely. She's lovely. But she's not quite got the social distancing. And she's busy saying, I went out here and I went out there and I've done my shopping. Mike's like backing up the road as she's speaking. Anyway, birthday present successfully delivered. And my Camtasia calamity improved, but not perfect by a long way. You ever started a job and thought, why did I do this? That's where I'm at. It should have been so simple. And I've come to the conclusion, nothing is ever simple when it involves a Mac. It's unbelievable. Normally my videos are screen recording and you might put a lower third on it. You might put an intro and an outro and stuff, but that's about it. This one, despite it being 1 minute 23 seconds, has turned into a nightmare of a job. Camtasia can't cope and I don't know why. It could be there's a lot of things on the timeline, but I don't think so. I think it's just having a moment with itself. Not helped by the fact, and it doesn't matter if it's Camtasia or ScreenFlow, the minute, the absolute second a new version comes out, they break it. I remember they broke ScreenFlow so badly and yet it was so innocuous. It didn't crash. There was no indication there was anything wrong. Your first indication there was something going on was when you exported it and all of the transitions were fuzzy. And I mean really fuzzy. You could see the second the transition started and the second it ended. And the video was crystal clear up to that point, crystal clear after that point, in the transition, looked like a pea soup fog. They fixed it, and I updated my version, because I have the version direct from them, and I have the App Store version. Mike only has the App Store version. It was 7 weeks in review. So every time he had a video to export, I'd say, give it here, I'll do it. It was that bad. But they've brought out Camtasia 2020 and I'm not having the problems a lot of other people are having, for which I'm incredibly grateful. But the problems that I'm having weren't there with the previous version. I swear they weren't. But the thing is, you know what they added with this version? They added the templates and I'm using those. So I can't go back to the old version. And I think the issue with some of what I'm trying to do, which to me is incredibly simple, it just doesn't do. And I'm sat looking at it with like, whoa, never contemplated that it didn't do that. So, for instance, I wanted to put one word on the screen, have it start off at like 0 pixel size for the text, and then end up at about somewhere between 600 to 700 pixels. It doesn't do less than 12, and it doesn't do more than 500. And I'm thinking, what? That might have been acceptable, or maybe you just wouldn't have wanted text bigger than that when 1280 was the standard. But the screen I'm working with is 3840 by 2160. It's 4K. So 500 pixels in text is actually quite small, and I cannot make it any bigger. And I'm sitting looking at it thinking, I'm missing something blindingly obvious here. But I can report, no, I'm not. I'm not missing anything. It just doesn't do it. Which came as quite a blinding shock. So that was one problem. I did fix that. Well, I fixed half of the problem. I fixed getting less than 12. Could not fix getting more than 500. So I put it in there and I started playing around with it. And then I realised there's no easing on it. And as I thought about screen flow, that's the same. You know, what kind of nightmare did this bring to my mind? That I'd have to finish this video edit in Final Cut or Adobe Premiere. At which point I thought, must have a look at Sony Vegas. But I think they're all the same. I just want something simple that does the job. Why is nothing ever simple anymore? You've all stopped talking to me as well. Yes, not good. Not good. Anyway, today I did find a sort of hacky workaround. You know me and my hacky workarounds. This was because I tried it in Keynote, and Keynote looked fabulous. But the issue with Keynote is getting it out of Keynote. I actually contemplated doing the whole thing in Keynote, but that brought into play, Keynote doesn't play nice with the audio. So Camtasia doesn't play nice with the video, and Keynote doesn't play nice with the audio.
Lola plays nice with everyone.
Oh, she does, doesn't she? She's a very good girl today. Came in here, sat and guarded the Amazon boxes. Looking a bit woebegone for herself, wasn't she?
Yeah.
But she was moody enough to reject one of the Purina sticks. She definitely doesn't like those.
No.
That's the problem, Jonathan. Life isn't simple now, is it? I swear this was easier with the older versions of the software. And now, I mean, I guess part of the problem is they've not increased the size that you can have the font, but the size of the actual canvas area you're working with has increased fourfold. So really, the limit, in fact, why is there a limit on the size of the font? You know, if we take this back a step, why are you limiting me? It's vector. I should just be able to type in whatever I want. But if there needs to be a limit, then it needs to be a minimum of 2,000. Which is 4 times the 500, because the canvas is 4 times bigger. Any rumours of Affinity doing a video app? Not for lack of asking, Jonathan, but their official line is no, which is most unfortunate. It would be fantastic. Do you know, I could actually get away with Keynote or PowerPoint, but when you start looking at it, this is what gets me. Muggles, those who only know that, like, PowerPoint does slides, will say to me, well, can't you just use that? Grinding of the teeth from the Elaine department at that point, that would be like me saying to the Formula One driver, can't you use a Fiat? I'm not fit.
Or to the handbag geeks, can't you use a plastic bag?
Exactly.
Yes.
They look at me like I'm, well, one, they can't see what the problem is, and therefore there isn't a problem. If they can't see the problem, then there's no problem. The problem's you. That's how they treat you. But, you know, when they say, like, I need a new handbag, and you're thinking, what's wrong with the 47 you've already got? If you say anything, again, the problem's you. Seriously. So I started with them. They are doing a photo management app, Jonathan. They've just not committed to its name or any kind of delivery time frame. But they are. Then Adobe's pretty much dead. Adobe get away with it because they're adding in workflow features for Teams, which, to be honest, was where they started. If you think about it, when Photoshop was released, it wasn't like their intention wasn't, let's get it in the hands of everybody with a box brownie at home. That was never their intention. It was a professional app. And the fact that man in a bowler's queue managed to get it, no questions asked, and then starts complaining about the price. The price is the price of a professional app. It's as simple as that. It does have a few features that Affinity doesn't have, but how many people miss them? Have you ever used the X-ray feature? They put in kind of medical X-ray features. They also put in dedicated features for CSIs who needed to look at what looks like a blank piece of paper and try and pick up. There's an ESDA system where you try and read what was on the page underneath. And with the right light, you don't need to go through the ESDA process. But I don't use that, not even for a demo. Do you use that? So the what they've put in, this is why pros buy it. But if you're using Affinity these days, be perfectly honest, you're not missing much, are you? Out of Photoshop, there's a lovely community. There's lots of updates. It's not subscription. We just need the other bits. So I think you're right there. If they had a video app, in fact, you know what would be even better than a video app? Bridge for video. Adobe have something called Prelude, and you put your video in it and you do your kind of preamble editing, basically, your pre-edits. I would love that. Now, Bridge can do a little bit with video, but not as much as Prelude does. You know, and I've got these apps and I'm like, it still doesn't work right. But when I looked at what I actually needed, the things like the X-ray and the CSI should be add-ons for people who need it. I don't know if they would do that. Because there'd have to be some kind of payment involved, wouldn't there? And if you can imagine a company with an in-app purchase kind of system, not happening. I guess that's how they sell it to companies like that. I mean, I wouldn't mind if those things were missing. But I have noticed when I do return to Photoshop for the odd thing, it's a lot more Affinity-like than it was when I stopped using it as my primary editor. They've added in things that were nice things in Affinity. You know, like you watch a video, you have 5 killer reasons to use Affinity, not Photoshop. And it's those things that they're kind of backfilling in. So Kim says, Affinity is working so well for me. I remember paying $600 for my first Adobe Photoshop. I started off with a free version that came with my computer. It wasn't Elements. It was way before Elements. So it was some kind of Photoshop Lite. But it was pretty decent. Then I got the proper Photoshop. And then there were 2 bundles-ish that I needed. There was the Macromedia stuff and then Adobe stuff. And then Adobe bought Macromedia and the whole lot got lumped together. So I actually ended up getting an upgrade. I don't think I paid above 400 and odd, maybe 500 and odd pounds for the entire suite. But if you remember, that was that thing where I went to the event that they had and they were saying, sorry, ladies. Every time a prize was pulled out. And now I waited. Oi. What's she doing now? I think she's moving the bed again. Mike's not dropping.
The sides of the bed are now covering the whole floor.
Why don't you just confiscate the bed, Mike?
Good idea.
Ooh, he's going down. Oi. And confiscating it. No, I managed to get an upgrade to a free version, basically. I got the entire suite. There used to be different levels of the suite. One was the Master Collection, and that was the one. So all these prizes that were going on throughout the days, the 2-3 days of this event, were for the web bundle and the photo bundle and all of that. But the last one that I won was for the Master Collection, which was the whole lot. So then I only paid upgrade pricing. You never paid for Photoshop. Paying for Affinity is a no-brainer, sensible price and arguably underpriced. I reckon the price is probably about right for the number of users that they want. You know, they could easily take it to $79 or $99 from $49. But obviously, then they're choosing not to do that. What I would say is, I was looking back at my videos on YouTube. You get this, if you've got a channel and you post stuff, you get this view that you can go back and see your old videos. And as I was going back through them, I was thinking, I did a video as soon as it came out, Affinity Designer for Mac, which was the first one. And it was interesting as I looked at it. I thought, that's over 5 years ago. And I would have expected a 2.0 that I had to pay for in 5 years. I don't know why they've not decided to do that, because they could easily do that. I'm thinking with Publisher, I thought they'd charge a 2.0 for Publisher to add in support for InDesign, but they didn't even do it for that. But they run a risk the longer that they don't charge for an upgrade. And at some point, they're going to have to charge for an upgrade. They can't live. I probably got it at half price. So I probably paid about £25 5 years ago for Affinity Designer. They can't live on $5 a year, £5 a year from me. And there's no sign of a version 2 yet, so it could be years yet. The danger they face is, by leaving it so long, people get used to the idea that they pay once and that's it. And if that sounds silly, you know, so, oh, don't be silly. People know that they need to pay. Yeah, kind of they do, but they get really ratty about it. So when Tweetbot brought out an update and it was a paid for one, people went mad. And you're thinking, but I'll admit it was about £12 odd, which for a Twitter client, if you compare it to Affinity, but they have to eat and they do have to iterate and put out new versions. People were mainly concerned about the price, but the comments weren't like, couldn't you charge sort of $5? The comments were like, why are you charging us? And they risk that. The second issue that they risk is they've added so much value to the version one product. What on earth can they add that people would be like, let me give you the money? And there will be people, probably like us guys, that would be like, let's just give them the money. I'd much rather pay for a version two every two or three or four, you know, a paid for upgrade every 2 years than I would it have to go to subscription. Now, they've said it won't go to subscription. And maybe, because we don't know on this kind of returns level, do we? Maybe they're at a point where the price is such that it's not worthwhile people ripping it off. I mean, when Jonathan said he didn't pay for Photoshop, Mike and I used to go down to Hackney in London, which is a 450-mile round trip on a good day. In fact, it's probably more than that, actually. Hackney's probably maybe 20 miles across London. So, say almost 500-mile round trip. And we used to go about once a month to make purchases, as it were. I'm going to leave that there. but, you know, that took time. It took money because you had to buy the discs that you were buying. There was petrol involved, you know. And I'm talking about us going to Hackney and trying to gloss over why.
Why are you glossing over why?
Well, we don't want to be admitting anything, do we? So I'm glossing over why, but I think people have got the point. The issue is with that, you know, it took a day that we went every month. It took the money, and it was still worth our while at that stage. But the price they're charging, you wouldn't mess, would you? You'd just buy it. There would be a cut-off point, though, in your mind. And a cut-off point for me would be higher than some other people. Which is another thing that I get from people. Why did you buy that Mac? It was £3,500. Why did you have that holiday? It was 10. Just saying.
Why did you buy that car? It was 30,000.
Yep. I actually got asked why I had spent. In fact, there was two of us, wasn't there? So we had two iMacs, three iPads, two pencils, and a few bits and bobs. You might as well if you're going in and spending that much. And it was £13,500. And since then, I've had a laptop and another iPad, and that's it, in 3 years. And I got asked, seriously, this person was not laughing when they asked this. That's an obscene amount of money to spend. Why did you do that? The same person is newly married with a house. So they already had a house and they've moved house. So this is their second marital home, I think. They moved into this new house, obviously, new mortgage, and promptly bought not one, but two sports cars. They spent over £40,000 on cars and had the bald-faced cheek to ask me, when I use it for work, hello, why I'd spent 13 and a half. These are the kind of people that should not be let loose. Lola has been in trouble. Where have you put the bed?
It's in a bin bag.
Oh, dear. Confiscated.
It might as well go in the bin. It's that bad.
Leave it. Leave it. I'll sort it out. It'll be fine. We'll put a quilt in it. She'll be fine. But it's confiscated. So, Jonathan, she was in trouble.
And it's in the back room.
Right, so when 2.0 is coming, it's going to have to include something really special. I agree, only for people. I mean, not that I wouldn't. I'd give them the money. I'm sure you would. But other people will be like, why should I have to pay? And people like that antagonise me. Because it's been 5 years and I think you should give them some money. But people do get really, really snotty. And I'm wondering what they could do. Maybe something like smart objects. That would be a good one. But it's going to have to be something big, isn't it? Because they do a tiny point update and you think, wow, they've added more to it than a lot of other applications. There's an application, and I think Alex mentioned it in the chat in Slack. It's called Curio. I had a couple of versions. I think I had about 3 or 4 versions. Then I skipped a couple. Then I got another version. And I haven't had the last couple of versions. But every time there's a new version, I get a mail and I look at it. And I honestly could not tell you what the difference is. It's like, we've added thousands of new features. And I'm like, fine, tell me 5 of them. And you look at it and you read it and you're like, it's not much. Yeah, that's seriously not much. And this app is not cheap. An upgrade on it is around $100. I'd rather they waited and did sort of daft tricks like that. But it's like you say, the app's brilliant already. A lot of people could get away with it as it is. But everybody wants new and shiny. Particularly if they're saying, like, you know, this is 2.0. Oh, what can you do? Maybe they are trying to get new customers, but I think anybody who is anybody who has heard the word Photoshop has probably heard the word Affinity now. And I don't think it would necessarily put people off. In fact, there's also another argument, Kim, that when an app has been out 5 years, it's obviously prime for an update. People stop buying it. I've looked at apps and thought, when was it last updated? Okay, I won't bother. I will wait for the new version. Graham said exactly the same with Scrivener. He had version 1. Version 2 was out and he said, well, it's not worth me upgrading now because it's been out about 3 years. Might as well wait for the next version. So that mentality is there as well, which you don't have with a subscription. So you'd need to think about that as well. So I reckon they are getting to the point with that. Jonathan, that's pretty much always my answer. What's it got to do with you? I never cross-question anybody. I mean, lots of the ladies at church, oh, honestly, on a Sunday morning, the only thing that's missing is Hyacinth Bouquet's hat. They're stood there, they got this new handbag, it's a Ted Baker. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, it looks like a Tesco bag with Ted Baker written on the side. And one particularly did. Do you remember that little shopping bag thing? Mm. And then Ted Baker was caught being naughty naughty with the Me Too movement. And I thought, you're going to have to tip-ex out the Ted Baker on that. But they ponce around with it. And I'm thinking, why are you advertising? You know, and it wasn't anything special. I looked at it and I assumed maybe about £10. £250. It was an absolute rip-off. But I still just sat there and smiled. Because what if they want to waste money on a bag like that? That's up to them. That is up to them. What got me laughing was I went into a charity shop. It's a really cool charity shop. And we're looking around. I'm looking at books. I always look at books in charity shops. Don't ask. It's just a fetish I've got. Mike was looking at other stuff.
And I look at sports books in charity shops.
That's true. They have a lot of sports books.
That's my fetish.
Yeah, they do. They have some nice clothes as well. I mean, there were leather jackets and all sorts in there.
Yeah.
So I'm looking around and I glanced up and they had some new stuff on the wall. And one was a handbag. And I thought, that's just about the right size. I bought this handbag. I think it was about £6. You should have heard everybody at church. That's fabulous. That's lovely. And I'm like, just don't ask how much it was. I think they just assumed it was stupid prices like they pay. But it's none of anybody else's business. But they do like asking and judging. And I know for most people, you know, $13,500 on tech, no, they won't spend it. But I guarantee they don't think anything about spending £30 on a bottle of wine every evening. In fact, as I've said at Catinian Do's, the amount spent on alcohol is obscene. Absolutely obscene. We went to one, didn't we? Do you remember the one, the Valentine's Ball? We went to this Valentine's Ball, and I've been doing a job all week, and I'm pondering buying some software. And this software was in the Mac App Store. But the Mac App Store, you know, software doesn't tend to be that expensive. And as I looked at this particular piece of software, it did one thing. That was all it did, just one thing. And it was about $28.99. And it certainly wasn't an instant purchase for me. It was like, I wonder if that will do, because there's no trial either. I wonder if that will do what I want it to do. And it's $28.99. And at $28.99, I'm going to think about it. $1.99 instant purchase, $28.99, going to have a think about it. So while I'm pondering, we goes off to this Valentine's Ball. And it was up near where all the footballers live in Old Dilly Edge. So I think it was Nina and Mike there, wasn't it? And it wasn't us that got involved with the wine, was it? I think it was them trying to buy a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
And it was £28 for this bottle of wine. And I'm like, sorry? Now, this bottle of wine anywhere else would have been less than £10. It was the markup because it was a posh hotel. So I'm pondering this price, and I turn around to Mike and I said, I'm going to buy that software when I get out.
I was just going to say, tell them what you did.
Well, the thing was, I was working on the principle that £28 they spent on that bottle of wine, we all know where that will have ended up 2 hours later. And I thought, but the software will be there tomorrow. So actually, by comparison, it's not that expensive. But they don't think twice, any of them, at paying whatever that they choose to charge at these events for wine. And I have seen it up to about £40. And they might moan and say, like, it's a bit expensive. But they'll buy it anyway. And I would never dream of saying, can you not make do with a glass of water like me? But they don't leave me alone. So if you don't leave me alone, then I'm going to start complaining. Right, let's have a look. Going up in the chat. I don't think they understand that it's for work and not for play, like they use it. Even if they don't, Kim, I think it's inappropriate. They might think that it's an indulgence, but it really isn't. I know it depends on your perspective, but if you go on YouTube and you look up, like, gamers, gaming setups, just seriously, go do that. You'll frighten yourself. And it'll say, you know, tour of my £100,000 gaming setup. And you're thinking, whoa, I trust there's a Formula One car involved in this. But it's they make more than that. They make more than that. But that's gaming, and they enjoy it as well. The fact that we would much rather have kit than a holiday, people just don't understand. But it's not their place to judge, no matter what you choose to do with it. I mean, I'm not murdering anybody, so what's the problem? They think about their kit and they think, well, it's not worth that to me. And that's fine. But then you'll get the phone call, which is, I'm trying to watch XYZ on my iPad and it's not having it. And you think, well, I wonder why. And you say, have you got the app installed? So say like the iPlayer. Yep, got the app installed. Well, what happens when you tap it? No, it just says like it won't play. You're like, oh, okay. Have you updated the app? Yep, I've gone in and then there's no more updates. Then you ask the question, when did you buy the iPad? Oh, yeah, got this in 2010. You're like, yeah, that's not going to work anymore. iPad 1 doesn't work. And they don't like that. But the iPad 1 won't even play something from the BBC, I'm afraid. But they choose to buy a motorbike and go on an £8,000 holiday. It's choice, isn't it? Absolute choice. 1 year for my anniversary, I asked for a new laptop. He gave me black pearl earrings and a necklace. Gave him the eye. I know that eye, Deb. Said I didn't want that. Take it back and got the laptop. Exactly. It's what you want. But, you know, something like that could be. I mean, my mum understood. But I can imagine your mother. He came to my birthday and he said, like, what did Mike buy you? And you said, like, you know, something techish. she would think jewellery was a better bet. Don't you think?
No.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Because she likes jewellery. Mind you, she also liked the fact we just happened to have a spare laptop kicking around in the middle of lockdown. Because her self combusted. Oh, no, I totally agree with Deb. Absolutely. The pearl earrings are all very nice, but, you know, can't get the internet on them. Well, not yet. Brilliant. Yes, we need a song. We need a song. I didn't see a request from Kim. Where did it...
No, I didn't.
How did you send it in, Kim?
Anyway, I've got it now.
Ah, you've got it. Awesome.
I've got it.
Awesome, awesome. How's the musical thing going? Where are we up to with that?
Where are we up to?
31 minutes in. There was only 14 songs. She sent through, because I got the songs from Ellen, and I'm sorting them out, and I'm putting in the duration of them, and it came to over 4 hours. So she wasn't kidding when she said there's a lot to choose from. Oh dear. Anyway, that one's playing as we talk. So we'll be joining them just before 8. It's had to be just before 8, hasn't it, Mike? Because it's fractionally short.
20 seconds before 8.
20 seconds before 8, that's not bad. Oh, Andrew and Peter are in.
What,
In the chat. So they're probably listening to Ellen's songs.
Oh, right.
They're in the chat and listening to Ellen's songs.
I thought you meant they were in...
Marooned. No. No, they wouldn't understand either. Oh, dear. What about all the flat-screen TVs and movie channels and fancy phones they have? That is very true, Deb. Every one of them has a huge TV. And we get criticised for the fact we don't. Honestly, we just can't win. We can't win. We do have this tiny... Well, it's not tiny, is it? It's about, what, 28 inches, something like that? I've no idea. It's never turned on. But Nina was like, you've got to have a telly. So we bought a TV and we turned it on once and I put the Apple TV on it and said, yeah, that's fine, it's working. And then turned it off. That's it. Never use it. Never, ever, ever use it. It's in the living room and we don't spend much time in the living room because there's no computer in there. I know we can carry one, but that's not the point. Yeah, but we get criticised for that. And some of these TVs, they're the size of a football field. The other night I was looking out because it was raining and I glanced across the road and in the smallest of the three bedrooms that the house across the road has, it was lit up. There was no curtains. So if there were curtains, they were open, right? And you could see this TV. It was the size of the window. I defy anybody. You'd need to be stood where I was to see it. It was huge. And I said to Mike, look at that TV, he said, where? I said, you'll know. Just glance out the window. So he glanced out the window and went, whoa, that's a big TV. But, you know, maybe they watch TV and it's the same rubbish, isn't it? Whether it's on a big screen or no screen. Oh, dear, oh, dear. I'll just smack a few of my friends for similar things. I just don't judge. And it's not what they're judging me on. It's just the fact that somebody would deem it okay to question you.
Oh, a compliment.
Oh, we got a compliment?
Yes, looking forward to another great evening's entertainment, which certainly beats any opposition on the TV on Saturday night.
Oh, who's that from?
Tony Pearson. Trio man.
Trio. The ones who tell you which charities you shouldn't give money to are worse. Oh, that's a good point. That is a good point. I must admit, Macmillan do my head in, but that's through personal experience. And Macmillan are fabulous, absolutely fabulous at marketing. But when it comes to being any kind of use, when you have two parents dying of cancer, forget it. I've never met anybody less use. In fact, you get allocated when you are diagnosed with cancer, a Macmillan nurse. And that's what happened with my dad. And it was anything you want, we will sort it out for you. And it sounded fantastic. So Dad was like, oh, cool. But, you know, he lived here with me, Mum, Mike, Mayer. He didn't really need for much. The only thing he actually wanted was an over-the-bed table so he could put his books on it and read. That was all he wanted. He didn't ask for anything else. That was all he wanted. So my mum said to them, the only thing that might be some use is this an over-the-bed table. She got a right talking to. How dare you ask for something like that? And she'd actually said to them, we don't need anything. Oh, you must need something. So she said, well, what sort of thing do you mean? You know, honestly, we don't feel that we need much. So she'd been put, you know, she wasn't saying like, can I have a gold bar? And she just thought, oh, they said anything. And I'll just ask for this little table. She got right talking to about that. And that was it. They were just downright rude. But this particular day, and I'm sure I've told you this story, I comes in from wherever I was. And my mum's on the phone. And she literally just answered the phone. And the woman from Macmillan was on the phone. And she is screaming at my mother. And I mean screaming. Oh, you're just being stupid. And mum didn't know what to say. I mean, it was that shocking. It was absolutely shocking. And my mum, I would never dream of interrupting her in a telephone call. No way. And I sat there and I'm, my nails are in my palms. I'm biting my lip and I'm thinking, I just wanted to take the phone off her and give the woman, well, it would have been better if I could do it physically, put it like that. And I sat there and the woman is just going on and on to my mum. And I think Dad was actually in hospital at the time. And it was, well, you come in and sort it out. And whenever she went in, there was the nurse, the doctor, the consultant, the Macmillan nurse. I think there was about eight. There was eight of them to one of her. And she was 78. And they were just screaming. Eventually, I couldn't take any more. I'm not known for my patience, am I?
No.
But I did manage almost 55 minutes before I went up and I said, I'm sorry. And I just snatched the phone out of her hand and said, you're dealing with me now. I'm his daughter. And I said, this is what we want. One, two, three. Call me back when you've dealt with it, and slammed the phone down. And then I thought, Mum is going to go orbital. And she looked up at me and she was nearly crying and she said, thank you. I just couldn't get anywhere with the woman. Steaming, absolutely steaming. And then they had the cheek to come knocking at the door. And we had a sign on the door that says, you know, don't knock. And they came round knocking. And they knocked on the door despite the fact this sign was in the door. I realigned their expectations and we haven't seen them since. So I must admit, I wouldn't stop anybody else, but I would tell the story that they are absolutely useless. We thought, obviously, it was just us. But the guy next door, he'd been diagnosed with cancer a little bit before Mum was. Mum. So he'd been really bad. And it had been about 7 months. And they'd come to visit him every day and generally fiddle around. And the lady came round and she was picking up a parcel. And she said, I'm so sorry they left here. I said, don't worry about it, anytime. Not a problem. And she got talking to Mum and she was saying, because obviously by this stage, Dad had died about 18 months before. No, about 14 months before. And she said, very, very shy and sort of didn't want to say it, kind of said, oh, well, we've got Macmillan coming. And Mum could tell from the tone. So she said, are you okay with them? And the woman said, no, they're absolutely useless. It's worse, you know, I'd rather they didn't come at all. And Mum told her what had happened with us. And she said, yeah, that sounds about right. So that was two people. So you're thinking, maybe we both got a really duff deal with them. But then I was talking to a lady at church whose husband had had cancer. And she said, oh, and Macmillan came round. And I said, we didn't have a good experience with them. So, I'm going to leave it there. And she said, didn't you? She said, neither did we. Literally, when you do get the courage to say to somebody who's had first-hand experience of them, without exception, everybody says the same. All they do is fill in forms. To call them nurses is obscene. If you're not emptying a bedpan, get out of my way. And they don't. They come in with their little forms and their pens and tick boxes and then disappear. Then they never do a thing. Never do a thing. Apart from upset my mother, which isn't the wisest idea, is it, Mike?
No.
So if they come knocking, Jonathan, they get the bum's rush. But don't worry, the dogs trust and the guide dogs are top of our list. It's shocking, it is. Right, let me catch up in here. You got to think of some requests, Jonathan. You do. You definitely need to. As long as it's legal. Is it legal to spend so much with Apple? I think it still is, to be honest. Oh, you really should give to this or you should give to that. We have that a little bit where we like to give Christmas cards. And some people say, I'm not doing Christmas cards. I'm giving a donation to charity. And I feel like Christmas is supposed to be the season of goodwill. I quite like to give a card. And they make me feel guilty that I give them a card. So I end up doing both. Oh, when did it become so difficult? So Kim usually has a look at how much of the money goes to the charity versus spent on adverts. That's a very good point, Kim. I like charities where, you know, every penny goes there, where it's manned by volunteers even. But some of them, I mean, Macmillan is just, they do my head in. They do. You know, we go to Bramley Farm, which is the place with the huge cakes. They agree to let Macmillan.
They are in bed with.
They are in bed with Macmillan is how we would word it. So you go in there and as you go to pay for your food, they say, would you like to donate a pound to Macmillan? Mike's face is just like, no, thank you. And don't ask Elaine. But, you know, you're a captive audience. How many people have got the brass balls to say no, thank you? I have my own charities. That is a very high pressure sell. Then when you go look at the cakes have gone up by a pound and it says all over the cakes, a pound will go to Macmillan. And I've always said to Mike, you know, they tell you that highly processed foods and stuff can cause cancer. So why are they taking money off selling you something that they would say would be better if you didn't eat? That's not on as well. And then the other thing they do is they have a staff member from the pub come restaurant coming round with a donation pot. So last Christmas we were there and we'd ordered the food. The food had come in. We had a group of about probably about 30, 35, something like that. And then this woman comes in with the Macmillan pot, wafting it about. And Mike's like, Mike puts his hand on the front of me and pushes me back into the chair and says, don't say a word. And I'm just there like foaming at the mouth. I would object to that no matter what charity it was. Charity is personal. You should be able to choose. I mean, can you imagine being in a group of 35 people and you're the only one who says no? And they don't know why you're saying no. I have the opportunity to explain to you guys why I would say no. I would give it to some other charity. But they must have a marketing department second to none to get in these places. It becomes it's unfair on other charities that don't have that. And like you're saying, I mean, the CEO gets 600,000 a year. I mean, really? That's just obscene. It is. But I can imagine it. I can imagine it. I don't think you need that kind of person in charge. You just need, I mean, no one can spend that kind of money unless you are really overindulging yourself. To work in the charity sector, and that sounds like a competitive salary. So why do they need to compete? Let that CEO go and do something in business.
Doesn't Anthony work for a charity?
I believe he does, yes. I'm sure he's not paid 600,000 a year. I'm sure there's nobody at the charity doing that. That is just bad. But exactly, Jonathan. Go work in the private sector. To take that amount of money from a charity is absolutely obscene. But you do have to be careful. There are so many these days. I mean, you see adverts on the TV and you know that there's a good portion of the budget going on that. And having said that, you know, the guide dogs have adverts on the TV. But you do know with the guide dogs, because you actually do get to meet people with the guide dogs, what a difference it does make. I've yet to find a Macmillan nurse who does anything at all. Apologies to anybody who has anybody who works for Macmillan, but I've never heard a good story about them. Only from them, funnily enough, about how fabulous they are. But, you know, we saw Rachel sent a couple of pictures this week, and yesterday's picture, she's all done up in her PPE and she's got a theatre cap on her head. She's got this massive screen across her face. Underneath that, she's got something wrapped around her neck. She's then got a 3M mask on her. And she said she was, by the end of her shift, she was feeling sick because they can't hydrate. She would have to take everything off and then gown up again. And they haven't got the amount of PPE for that. And you look at somebody like that, who's actually hands-on. She actually goes out and brings the patients in. And she is hands-on with the patients for endoscopies. You see somebody like that and you see a Macmillan nurse, they are not a nurse. They call themselves nurses, they are not nurses. They may have qualified as a nurse at some point, but when you become a Macmillan nurse, there's no nursing involved. So why is it called Macmillan nurses? Just get rid of the nurses bit. Make it a level playing field. Find somebody else, basically. So that's my hobby horse. They've not knocked, though, recently, have they, Mike?
No.
She's most unfortunate. You know who did?
Who?
The Heart Society, isn't it? The Heart Foundation?
Oh, Heart Foundation.
Something like that. They clearly can't read either, because the door says, leave me be. Jonathan, you're so right. Do they do 1,000 times more valuable work than someone on the front line? No. As we've discovered in this pandemic, the person who's cleaning the toilets with a brush is worth more than the CEO. Hello, Mrs. Simon. I've finished ranting now, so you're fine. That is a very good point, Paul. And they say I wasn't aware that something bad goes down.
I was thinking today.
No, you're not, Mrs. Simon, trust me. Go on, what were you thinking about?
I was thinking, we only know Mrs. Simon as Mrs. Simon.
That's because she's Mrs. Simon.
Ah.
Yeah, like Lola. Imagine Lola's got however many names. No, she's Mrs. Simon.
Lola Bear.
Lola Bear.
Lola Bear.
Yeah. There you go. Now, Jonathan's saying Mrs. ST, so Mrs. Saint.
Thanks,
I'm
Johnny.
Sure Mrs. Simon is a saint. Now you come to mention it. I'm sure she is. So we are 13 minutes out from Brooklands. Have we got music? I got your link, Paul.
We've
all
got
over
music,
the place.
Yes. I'm just sticking.
Thank you
in
very
the,
much for that.
The spreadsheet.
I will sort that out. I've got so much to. You know, if I don't finish that channel trailer, I'm going to go mad. That one has nearly killed me. Trust
Jonathan's
me.
Going to get Typinator. To expand ST to Simon T.
Jonathan's well into his typinator at the
he
moment.
Is.
What did I tell you, Jonathan? And it only took you 13 years to believe me. If you're going to get it to expand ST, you're going to need a key before that, Jonathan, or your the rest of your text will be fascinating. Seriously. Typinator is amazing. It's a shame there's no Windows version, and it's a shame there's nothing on iOS, but I do most of my serious work on the Mac, and particularly for bookmarks and stuff. But I've got that on my list, haven't I? Because somebody wanted advanced uses of Typinator. So it's on my list. Mike put it on my list. Best bit of software I've bought. Just took 13 years. It does. You don't forget to back up your sets as well and get them into Dropbox. That makes your life a whole lot easier.
Carolyn says, please can we have another musicals choice one? Please, sometime. Stuart says, with the length of Ellen's list, I think that's probably a given.
They're not kidding. Oh, yes, we're going to have a mini series.
I'm keeping my eye on two chats here.
Yeah, I'm just heading off to that. We've had lots of requests for what's it, haven't we? Vera Lynn. So we've got to do that. The Flight of the Bumblebee, is that?
Yes, I found it.
That's the one. It's really fast, isn't it?
Obviously they play it better than I can sing it.
Oh no, I don't think so. Oh, and I see that Stuart hasn't put in his request for the musical thing. We need a musicals request show. Oh, crying out loud. They've all gone crackers on musicals. Ah, it's a joke. Yeah, well, not a problem. You see, this is what we do. We have, if it's a guy that comes in, he says, oh, my wife's listening, then they are Mrs. whatever his name is. But we also have it the other way, because for years and years, we had no idea that Mr. Jane was called John. He's always been Mr. Jane. It just works. In fact, didn't he put Mr. Jane on his Twitter account?
I think he did.
But he's actually called John. Exactly, nothing wrong with that, is there, Mrs. Simon? Mr. Owl makes total sense to me. Can you make type an A to K sensitive on the shortcuts? Yes, you can, Paul. It is in, if you've got Typenator installed, let me get it and find the option. It is just below the list on the right-hand side. So you've got your abbreviation under the two lists. And just to the right of that, it says case does not matter. And there's case must match or case affects expansion. So you've got your three options for case. So yes, you can. Typenator's fabulous. Really love it. Really, really love it. Oh, Jonathan, that was I've got a funny story about that. Do you know which one I'm thinking about? I hate it when people ring and call me Mr. Isaacs. That's my dad. We came in, didn't we, and we said to my mum and dad, we've got engaged. And Dad said, oh, does that mean you'll be Mrs. Thomas then? And there's me grinding of teeth. No, that's Mike's mother. That annoyed me, because my dad, obviously, he's the father of a daughter. He didn't think to say to Mike, so are you becoming Mr. Giles? I think he lived in a time warp of about 1830. Mm. Yeah, he got me going with that. He got both barrels over that. I think Jonathan used to use Text Expander, didn't it? It's a weird thing to take on another name. It is. It is. I mean, when we go out socially, we are Giles Thomas. Even that causes complete confusion. Teachers were sir and miss, even if they were married. That is true. But I can't imagine just randomly. I don't think I would do it legally.
We had a teacher when I was about 14, and his name was Mr. Stylianou. He was Greek. His first name was Steve. And you used to think you were really cool and you knew something if you ever knew a teacher's first name.
That's true.
So he comes in one day, it was chemistry, I think, and he introduced himself. He says, my name's Mr. Stylianou, and if you can't pronounce that, you can call me Sir.
Oh, Paul doesn't like hyphenated surnames. Well, I'm not taking Mike's and he's not taking mine, so the obvious answer was to hyphenate it. So the dog is Lola Bear Giles Thomas, which I think is a cool name. No, sometimes people are savvy enough to put Giles Thomas, aren't they? Other times they put Giles. Sometimes they put Thomas on the pair of us. I'll answer to anything pretty much, because it was so funny. They put on mine Elaine Thomas. So I'm like... I think that's ignorant. Not to use your real name, I just think he's ignorant. It's just like not bothering to ask what to put on it. Until the lady next to Mike... Now, did it say Mary or Margaret on it? I think it said Margaret. So the nameplate's next to him. So he said, hello, Margaret. And she looked and she went, it's Mary, actually. They've got the wrong name on the card. Didn't even have the right first name, much less the right last name. Bad news, bad news. But we're so careful. You know, when we're putting our list together and it's like, I mean, as you know, we've talked about it the other night. We were putting all the food on it as well. You know, we're not going to get the name wrong. And then one event the year before, which was Stuart's year, there was one event and it was at a local venue. And I'd no idea who'd organised it. But everybody's card had their name on it and underneath the food that they'd ordered. And I looked at my card and it didn't have a name on it. It just said Elaine. Well, I went off on one with you, didn't I?
You did.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, that's our own circle and that's just downright rude. And now when we found out who it was, right, he said, oh, well, I couldn't remember, so I left it.
How long has he known you?
Find out. Seriously, find out. He'd known me by then 4 years and he couldn't remember. Paul might upgrade Typinator. Typinator is very, very good. I'd not seen that blocked thing that Jonathan's seen. I read the thing you put, Jonathan, about 1Password, and it is a 1Password security thing, and it drives me crackers as well. What I tend to do, if it's any use to you, is, and it might not be because you might not be using Drafts, but I have Drafts configured, so I use Control-2, and it brings up this temporary window. And in there, I can put the shortcut for my email address, Command A, Command C, close the window, and then I'm straight back into 1Password, and it's, I've expanded it in Drafts, and then I just paste it into 1Password. So that's my workaround. Again, once you've got the shortcut keys really sorted, it's actually quite easy to do. That's how I do it. But I agree with you. I'm putting in all my purchases into 1Password, and you know, a lot of the time you need your email address in. It drives me mad it won't do it, but I figured it wasn't Typinator. I'd figured it was 1Password. Just a security issue. What can you do? This was, so I take us right back to the beginning of tonight when I said, I swear things are getting more difficult to use, not less difficult to use. Which takes me back to Keynote. Actually, Keynote's behaving itself. Keynote is doing exactly what I want, and I will show you in a demo what that is. But the fact that it's so hidden is not helpful. And the fact that, you know, when you export something from an app, so say you're in a photo app and you do an export and you want it at a certain quality, at a certain size and a certain file format, it tends to remember that, doesn't it? So you carry on working and then you want to re-export it. It tends to remember it. Keynote, complete amnesia. Not a clue what you exported last time. You have to go through the entire process again. That drives me mad. But that just, to me, is like Apple not understanding what their app can actually do. There's a lot of companies like that. Like that rolling edit that I was showing you. Camtasia aren't talking about their rolling edit. They don't know they've got a rolling edit. But they have, and it's brilliant. You wonder if the text expander thing is similar to get blocked secure input, but you've been using Typinator for 12 hours and not a single issue. I stopped using text expander probably about 10, 11 years ago. Maybe more. It could be that 13 years ago, Jonathan. Is that what I said in the podcast? I just got... The support was shocking. But as you found, the support's great, isn't it? I mean, it's the weekend and they're replying to you. They are fantastic. I would be comfortable and confident with Typinator that if there was an issue, they'd be able to deal with it, or at least tell you why it is like that, and it would be like that for a reason. So 99% of the people do not want Typinator expansions in Alfred. I do, and they provide a way to do that. It's still not an option, so I did have to put that code that I sent you, Jonathan, somewhere safe. You know, when you've got a snippet like that and you daren't lose it, you're like, now where shall I put that? And I'd be thinking, should it be in OneNote or Evernote or Bear or Notion? But I have a system admin thing in Notion, and it's in there. So all of my little hacks, I'm collating them in Notion, potentially for the sharing of. Kim should like that because she likes my hacks. I just wish I wasn't pushed into a position where you need to do that constantly, that you need to have that degree of hack available to fix something that, quite frankly, shouldn't be broken. But nine times out of ten,
we've got about 30 seconds.
30 seconds and then we're going live on Brooklands. Okay, let me get that up there. Well, we better say goodbye then on here. Okay. Although we'll still be here until the first song. But it's been a great night. Hope you've enjoyed it. Same time, same place tomorrow. Getting ready for WWDC. Good night from me.
Good night from me.
And we'll both see you next time.